Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this nice Carolina winter day. I love it, except for the melting snow, the mud. But hey, what are you going to do? I like the warm weather. I'm sure you do too. Several announcements to make. First, you can take your red pad, sign it, pass it down. If you put your name, address, email, all that type of information, and if anything has changed, please let us know. Also, I'm getting ready to start a new members class. Several people have mentioned they'd like to be in it. Or an inquirer's class, it doesn't mean that you're definitely joining the class. And I'll hand you out some pamphlets. So if you could, I know some people have already done it, but there's some I wish cards. Should be in your pew. If you could fill those out with your name and your telephone number, and I would like to give you a call. That'll make it a little easier. Then I'll have everybody compile that I know whether you want to join or whether you want to be an inquirer, and I'll give you the pamphlets. Then we will meet together, and then if you decide you want to join, then we'll present you to the session and the congregation, hopefully within the next few weeks. I'd like to try to get everyone together for that. And then you can drop that I wish card in the offering plate when it comes by. And you also see on the screen PowerPoint, the prayer and praise request is also in your bulletin. We're doing something new. Hope it'll be much more efficient, and I'll be able to see who's and really remember and have it before me who is being asked for prayer and be able to follow up on those. We put out a call yesterday for kitchen help for the luncheon Thursday. I know two people responded, Arlie and Jenny. Did we get a third? Does anyone know? We still need one person to come help in the kitchen, serving or washing dishes, if possible. Okay, Kathy will be there at 10:30, so that is everyone. Then I'll be there as soon as I can be. Okay, thank you very much. My new nursery is open every Sunday, and junior church is every Sunday except for the last Sunday. So if you know people with children 3 years old through sixth grade, they're welcome to attend that. You can read about the weather open hotline and altar flowers. You can read about those. It's listed that we have a session council meeting this Tuesday. Don't worry, session, we're not having another session meeting. That's not until February, that's just a misprint. And I inadvertently gave the wrong scripture reading to Artis. That is my fault, and I inadvertently gave it to Bill to start with and had to send it back to him. I hope you got the second one, because it's verse 18 also. So it should be read Luke 3, 15 through 18 and 21 through 22. Okay, good, because it's very important, because the good news part is in the 18, just a misprint on my part. Make sure I got everything. Okay. I think that is everything. This is the day that the Lord... Oh, one more thing. I knew there was something stuck in the back of my mind. I've been like that all morning. I left my sermon at home, had to go back and get it, then I left it on the table upstairs. If you'd like to be a part of the choir, we have Speak to Mickey by January the 30th. See her.
If you'd like to be a part for the spring Easter.
For the spring Easter. When you start singing, talk to her, call her, see her after choir, whenever. And
church.
After church. If you can, see her after church, and she'll get you signed up, tell you what you need to do, and you'll be can be a part of this illustrious group. They have a great time together. I'm glad I remembered that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise this morning is 319. We bless the name of Christ the Lord. And when we get to verse 2, you'll see that the women only sing. And in verse 3, the men only sing. The congregation. But everybody will sing verse 1, correct? Okay. And 4. and love and blessed peace through Jesus. By grace we have the Father Christ, the Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your positive words in Scripture. We praise you for feeding us with love, mercy, and forgiveness. Forgive us when we do not treat others in the same manner. Teach us how to speak words that edify and build up the body of Christ. Remind us to compliment and congratulate. Help us to find the good news and share it with a sense of joy. May we be filled with the vision of love and acceptance and kindness and compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together here at Glenshaw Valley with a true sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Someone here you don't know the name, please ask. I have a quick announcement that I did not see. It's on the stuck to a card. For all you committees and teams, get those receipts in as soon as possible for auditing to Lynn Love and our Darlene Wagner. Thank you very, very much. Amen. Lovely, lovely. Our responsive reading is Psalm 100, back of your hymnals, 709, Psalm 100. I love this. Love the way it starts. Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Thank you. This time I'll call Jim Eigner, our elder, up as we start our first Sunday of elder taking the prayer request, and I will lead us in prayer. And I hope you had time to fill out your cards, and we will welcome any comments about the cards.
I don't really think I need the mic, but just a little preface on our prayer and praise cards. They will be available from the elder at the door every Sunday. And then if you can either hand them back in before the service to the elder, or you can save them until next week. And this way we're trying to make the service a little more concise. And besides, it gives the elder a little more chance to read over them. Leonard's got enough to do preparing for the rest of the service. We have a prayer request for Kathy Miller. She was in a coma and has a long recovery. And we have a prayer request for Melanie. She's having some difficult times and she needs to really feel the presence of the Lord, which our prayers will help with. We have a prayer request for Scott Love. And he had surgery on Thursday night, and he's recently lost his home for him and his family, and they're currently looking for a new home. Prayer request for Joseph Schindler, and he's having surgery on Tuesday. And for Sandy, her husband is having a terminal illness, and we need to pray for her and her family, that God comforts them and guides them. And we have a praise request. And my reading is not as great. According to this, and they didn't sign it, but it says that since September, the general membership congregation has been meeting to study the Word of God. And they feel that God is moving them in the right direction, and they welcome any other members of the congregation or non-congregation who would care to join with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. As we go to prayer in our Presbyterian tradition, I will lead you into the Lord's Prayer and saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. And just to update you, Millie Mack is now back in her home, and John Rowley is back in his assisted living home, and very happy to be there. I saw him and served him communion, and I am out serving communion, so prayer for that also. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this day in January. It has been cold and snowy, now rainy and warm, up and down with the weather, and sometimes we don't know what to say about it, and we get very negative. And it's easy for us to lose our joy when there's so many people who are sick in nursing homes, who are unemployed, losing their homes, not enough to eat. We watch the news and we see reports of thefts and car wrecks and all kind of negative things that affect other people, and many times they affect us. And if not us directly, then many times it affects our psyche. We just ask that you are with each and every one of us, that you help us find our joy if we have lost it again. Help us understand that our joy comes not really from what is outside, but from inside, finding the joy that you bring to us, reminding us that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and to look to you for everything that we do in our personal lives, in our church life, in our places of employment and recreation, just every single day, to learn to rejoice in you. That will help us get through the day, sometimes even the next minute or two. Life can be a struggle, but with you by our side, us seeking to rejoice, to be positive, it makes life so much easier. And together, in community, sense of unity, it can even be better with all of us rejoicing together. All the prayer requests that Jim read, we lift them up to you, all listed in our Valley newsletter and our bulletin. Even all those that are still yet unspoken, and all those who are not in service today for whatever reason, whether working or traveling or ill, we pray for one another, that you help us and you guide us, you lead us, you direct us, you encourage us, and you help us to encourage and love one another. Thank you, Lord, for always being compassionate and graceful to us. And thank you for the many examples that you've given us within Scripture and for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, a contemporary screen song, Shout to the Lord. Thank you. Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for the good news that you sent into our very lives, Jesus Christ, to become one of us, to give his life so that we did not have to give ours for something that we could never earn. We could never possess eternal salvation, righteousness. Jesus did it for us. So today we say thank you, giving our gifts with a joyful attitude, our songs, our fellowship, our preaching, our prayers, our kindness, our love, everything that we do. Lord, may we not ever do it for ourselves, but may we always do it for you and for your glory. And let everything that we do point to you. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation and every wonderful and kind thing that they do, every outreach to the community, food that is given, letters that are written, telephone calls, rides, everything, Lord. Bless them for their kind deeds, their kind words, their love, their support, their generosity. Touch them and help us grow in every aspect of our relationships and our evangelism. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. Call Bill Mueller forward and thank him again for his wonderful reading of the scripture. And while he's preparing at session Tuesday night, someone pointed out that sometimes they cannot see the words well on the screen. And what I told them is that that was good to hear, but it would be even more beneficial if I had a specific. Generalities are kind of good and I can kind of work on it, but when I'm working on it at home, it looks different on my PowerPoint sometimes than it looks on the screen. It's not quite as clear than if the sun is coming in. So if it's on the screen and it's a Sunday and say, I really couldn't see it very well, tell me. That will help me know maybe colors or fonts or what. I mean, it may still not be perfect, but it'll give me something to go on, and I'll know, well, this one, this Sunday, didn't work so well. Thank you.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
As I meditated on today's scripture, especially after Leonard sent me the one more line.
You're welcome.
The word good news jumped out at me, the proclamation of the good news. And it reminded me that further on in Luke 4, verse 43, Jesus said, he came to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because that is why he was sent. And both John the Baptist and Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Then later on in Luke, Jesus said, until John, that means the Baptist, came, there was only the law and the prophets. Since then, the good news of God's kingdom is preached, and everyone is urged to enter in. Then Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. What God wants. Then all other needs will be met as well. And wherever God reigns is where the kingdom of God is. And just ponder on this idea or this question, does God reign in your heart? Please listen to your own personal message as I read Luke 3, 15 through 18, and then 21 through 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them, I'll baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
How do you preach differently to get people to listen to a scripture that you've preached now over 30 times, at least? It's at least preached on the same scripture that many times. How do you take a little bit different avenue? Well, I started looking at this Monday mornings when I start working on my sermons. Every Monday morning I get up, I don't even let my dog out of the cage. I grab a cup of coffee and I go sit at my desk, not even awake. I open up the Bible, open up everything I'm going to look at, give my scripture, and I start working. Then I let the dog out later. But I get that. And I start working on it and start thinking about it and try to see what jumps out at me. And that's why when I realized that I didn't have verse 18, how could I leave that out? That was like the crux, the good news. You know, the weather's always a good source of small talk. When I walk my dog Xenon around the neighborhood, people are always talking about the weather, usually in a negative aspect. In these dark and dreary days of January, that small talk is probably even smaller and meaner and more morose than ever. Whether it's chatting at the checkout stand with a cashier or making conversations in a cramped elevator at work or at a hospital visit, this time of year, weather talk isn't very likely to be upbeat and positive. We hear things like, "I hate the snow." Don't you just hate what it does to your shoes and your car and your clothes getting on everything? Tornado warnings in January? Really? Snow fog? It's dark when I leave for work in the morning and it's dark when I get home from work. Why does every parking spot that I come to always have a puddle full of water right where I get ready to step out? Never fails. Everyday grouses and everyday glitches. But they give our casual conversations and interactions a kind of survivor camaraderie. Verbalizing all our gripes might bind us together, but it doesn't lift us up, because we're all stuck in the same dreary day. I'm going to guess that every one of you here this morning has a pet peeve. And if I asked you to raise your hand and name some, I'm sure everyone would have pet peeves. We all do. It's a part of our human life. One of mine is rudeness, especially like in traffic. I think I've talked about that before. You let someone out, especially when it's very busy, you let them turn or out when it's a long line, and they just blow by, they get on their phone, or they don't even wave, they don't honk, they just, and I said, "Couldn't you just say thank you? Is it that hard to just throw up your hand?" Evidently, for some people it is. You open up a door and you stand there, and eight people walk by, and no one says thank you, like you're the doorman. You know, it's just beyond me sometimes. And then I'm not even going to get started. I just mention it, then I'm going to stop, because I could just talk about it for 30 minutes. Cell phone usage. Don't need to say anything else. But why is it so easy for us to talk or email or text our favorite pet peeves, and not so easy to pay attention and pass on those things that bring us the gift of joy and happiness to a mundane moment in each and every day? We all have our pet peeves, but how many of you have pet joys? Think about it for a moment. We all gripe and grumble, but how many of us compliment and congratulate? I know I don't do it enough. Where are our pet graces to go along with our pet gripes? Maybe it's time to enlarge our small talk and expand it to encompass and express joys and inspiration. Instead of just passing on the feebleness of the weather and the foulness of the world, why don't we celebrate and congratulate, bless and compliment in our small talk? Turn it upside down. You know, the holidays are past. The kids are back in school and the crazy schedules are demanding. It's dark and cold and the winter woefulness is everywhere. All the ads on TV are for weight loss programs and tax return help. And really, where's the joy in any of that? Yet there's joy everywhere, every day and every occasion. We just need to pay attention and then pass it along. In today's gospel text, John the Baptist closes out his mission with a word that combines the promise of salvation and the Spirit with a warning about judgment and the fire to come. It is a kind of good news, bad news scenario. Yet Jesus' inaugural moment, his baptism, is nothing but good news. The heavens open up, the Spirit descends with a physical force, and the voice of God proclaims Jesus to be Son. My beloved Son. My Son, he says. To be beloved. What a wonderful thing for him to say. To be the one who makes God well pleased. Jesus in the water brings God joy. God passes that joy along in the person of the Holy Spirit and the proclamation of the divine pleaser. The wise men gave Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh at his birth. Gifts that gave them joy to give. God gave Jesus the gift of his blessing and his pleasure and his love at the moment of Jesus' baptism. God's pleasure is the real divine baptismal gift. God's pleasure and presence drift down upon Jesus like a dove, and Jesus' ministry began at his baptism and was imprinted by God's pleasure. Think about it. You know, many creatures, but especially evident in birds, is the imprint upon their minds. The first relationship and connections at a critical time in development are the first one that that duckling sees. Whether chicken, geese, or ducks, they focus on that counter the moment that egg hatches and they see. And that's who they will follow, whether it's a mama goose or daddy duck. The moment that shell cracks and they come out. But sometimes there's a problem. Whatever the identity of the first imprint, the new duckling will follow and focus upon it, whether it is a safe path or a sorry path. Jesus imprinted his baptism with the voice of the Father declaring the divine pleasure and the presence of the Holy Spirit physically and palpably present. No wonder Jesus' mission was marked by nothing less than joy. French theologian Chardin once said that joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. But joy is as much as the infallible sign of the pleasure, not just the presence of God. Jesus' life was an active reflection of God's pleasure that he received at his baptism. Experiencing God's pleasure at his baptism empowered Jesus to live a life pleasing to God, and a life spent experiencing God's pleasure is always a life of joy. The closer we get to God, the more joyful our life will be. The further away from God, the less joy you will have in your life. No wonder Jesus was always gathering friends for dinner. No wonder Jesus was viewed with suspicion by the seriously religious as almost scandalous party animal, eating, drinking, and talking, canoodling with all sorts of questionable characters. Jesus felt God's pleasure every day of his life, and the gift that approval brought him was unlimited joy. It was a joy that Jesus shared with all those who believed that they were forever outside of God's pleasure. The tax collectors, the sinners, the sick, the poor, the outcasts, and even Gentiles. Jesus reached out to include all persons. He himself received and recognized God's pleasure, God's love as a gift of grace. And we do not receive God's love and pleasure as any kind of earned bonus. God's pleasure in us, God's acceptance of us, God's grace towards us is always and forever an unexpected, unattainable, unavailable gift. Nothing you can do but receive it. And God wants the divine pleasure in us to multiply into joy, into a life filled with the joy of salvation and thankfulness for the gift of his grace. It's still early in 2013, and what if we made a resolution to focus less on our pet peeves and more on our pet joys? What would it do for us? Instead of bonding with strangers on the elevator over the bad weather of the day and all the bad news that you heard, why not share a moment of joy and transform someone's life, and at the same time begin to transform your life from negativity to positivity? Like in chess, let's check our pet peeves with our pet joys. Now, I'm not the only one thinking these thoughts. Popular women's writer Anne Voskamp calls herself a wild crusader for crazy joy. She just launched a 30 days of crazy joy where each day you do something just for the sheer joy of it and then tell others about it. You say, but there's so little to be joyful about. I understand that. I truly, truly understand that. True, there's no shortage of horrors and heartbreak in this world. In his 4 years as president in office, Sandy Hook massacre was the fourth mass murder scene that President Obama has visited to offer comfort to those parents and those grieving, and even to our entire nation. Yet out of these ashes of anguish, there's new hope. In 1999, the U.S. was sucker punched by the violence of the Columbine School Massacre. What a horror. But in the aftermath of that horror, Daryl Scott, father of murdered student Rachel Scott, established Rachel's Challenge, a foundation devoted to motivate, educate, and bring positive change to young people. Over the years, Rachel Challenge has organized 30 different speaking groups to go out into schools speaking positive words of joy and hope and love to teenagers who might otherwise have fallen into an abyss of despair, hatred, and violence themselves. In the place of despair, Rachel's Challenge has offered a vision of compassion, kindness, of love, and acceptance. Rachel's Challenge offers struggling teens a glimpse of what it means to experience in their own lives God's pleasure in them. After the Sandy Hook Elementary tragedy, NBC News person Ann Curry tweeted a challenge to her followers. She asked them to commit to bringing 26 acts of kindness, one for each life lost. What a wonderful thing. 26 expressions of love that demonstrated God's grace and God's pleasure in this still fractured and fragmented people going through such tragedy, such loss, such heartbreak. 26 opportunities to bring God's grace and bring God's joy to other people who are hurting. And there's a story of a traveler who approached the gates of an ancient city. The gatekeeper sat quietly and listened as the traveler announced that he had left the old city. He was looking for a new city in which to live. The traveler asked the gatekeeper, "What's this city like?" The gatekeeper said, "Well, what was your old city like?" The traveler said, "It was terrible. People were mean and unfriendly. There were no jobs. The government was an abomination and the taxes erroneous." "Well, that's pretty much what you'll find here." So the traveler moved on in search of a better city. A few hours later, another traveler approached with a heavy load on his horse, and he announced that he was seeking a new home. The gatekeeper said, "What was it like in the town that you came from?" "Oh, it was wonderful. Filled with lovely people who are always there to help you and love you and do their best. Even the politicians tried to do their best for the citizens. I wish I didn't have to leave on account of my job." The gatekeeper said, "Well, that's pretty much what you'll find here." So the man entered the city to live. You know, you often find in life what you look for. I think it's time to trump our pet peeves with our pet pleasures. Maybe we should even keep a joy inventory and start writing things down about joy and happiness and good news. You, my friends, are God's beloved. Do you know that? You are God's beloved. God loves you. He died for you. He sent His Son Jesus into this world that you might have salvation and the abundant life, and that you might have joy. And that you might bring great pleasure to Him and to others. And He asks that you share the good news that Jesus brought salvation into the world. And He asks that you find your peace with Him and share His joy, and that you let His joy become your joy. So maybe we can all exchange our pet peeves for pet joys. I'll guarantee you one thing. You can exchange your pet peeves for pet joys. I guarantee you, you'll be a happier person. And I'll guarantee you a second thing. People around you will be happier too. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, so appropriate, "The Joy of the Lord," 411. Thank you. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you felt loved. I hope that you felt fellowship with one another. And I hope that you feel a true sense of joy. And I hope that you'll go away from this body of Christ and that you'll go out into the world to your families, your friends, your neighbors, maybe even people that you don't particularly get along well with, and you'll begin to share that joy that comes from a relationship with your Lord Jesus Christ and your Heavenly Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.